Well, today we resume our study in Hebrews chapter 11. So if you'd open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11, we'll be looking at verses 17 through 19. And as we've been going through this chapter, the writer of Hebrews has mentioned different individuals who have had true, genuine faith. And the individual that he spends the most time on is this man, Abraham. And this will be the last week that we look at Abraham today. Abraham is sometimes referred to as the father of the faith. The Bible says that Abraham believed God, and God accounted him as righteous, or he declared that Abraham was righteous because of his faith in God. And today, as our scripture reading said, that we too are declared righteous by God as we put our faith in him. Abraham believed that God would do what he had promised. He would give him that son, that promised child. And for you and I, we too must have faith. We must believe that God is going to do what he has promised as well. And that is, he has promised us eternal life if we have believed in his son, Jesus Christ, who is the promised Messiah, the Savior and Lord, the one, the only one who can save us from our sins. Well, let's look at these verses this morning. Beginning in verse 17, says, "By faith Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, 'It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned.' Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death." Well, so far as we've looked at the faith of Abraham, we've seen Abraham's faith displayed in a couple of ways. If you remember earlier back in verse 8, we saw that by faith Abraham was called to go to a place, how God called him out of his homeland into the promised land. And by faith Abraham packed his bags, he got up and he went, he obeyed the Lord. Another area of faith that we saw in Abraham was that he believed that God would give him a child of promise, this child who through him many descendants would come. And God came through on that one as well. And today we come to number 3. God says to Abraham, "I want you to offer up your son as a sacrifice." Verse 17 says that God tested him. You could say God tested the faith of Abraham in this situation. And not that leaving his homeland and believing that God would give him a child when he was as good as dead, when he was an old man, was not a test as well. Those were both tests of his faith. This situation, this what God had called Abraham to do in this certain situation with his son, you've got to admit was a difficult, tremendously difficult test of his faith. Wouldn't you say so? Well, let's look at this great test of Abraham. If you turn back in the book to the book of Genesis, we find this account of Abraham in Genesis chapter 22, first book of the Bible there, Genesis 22. We're going to look at the account of Abraham and Isaac, and perhaps you have heard this and read this many times in your life. But whether this is the first time you've heard this or whether it's the 100th time, I pray today that God would encourage your hearts, that God would challenge you to grow in your own faith. And today, even if you don't have faith, that God would give you the gift of faith as we look at Abraham. Let's begin just looking at verses 1 through 5. It says, "Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, 'Abraham, here I am,' he replied. Then God said, 'Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about.' Early the next morning, Abraham got up and saddled his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. When he said to his servants, he said to his servants, 'Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you.'" Well, here we find the setting of what is about to take place, this testing of Abraham's faith. The Bible says sometime later or after these things. Well, after what? We see in chapter 21, after the birth of this promised child Isaac, this baby that was born to Abraham and Sarah in their old age when they were beyond the normal years of childbearing. Again, this child's name was Isaac. And we don't know exactly how old Isaac was when the Lord asked Abraham to do this. That word there translated boy can also be translated young man. We do know that Isaac would actually carry the wood for the sacrifice when we get into verse 6. We'll see that somehow Abraham placed this wood upon Isaac, his son, and he would carry that wood to the sacrifice. So Isaac was probably not like 3 years old, and he certainly wasn't 30 years old either. A good guess is somewhere between maybe 10 and 18, plus or minus a couple years. That's the age of this boy, this young man, Isaac. We also see that once God spoke to Abraham, things didn't happen right away. Sometimes when we read the Bible quickly, we think God told them, boom, there went the sacrifice. But we see that day one, God said, what? This is what I want you to do, sacrifice your son. Day two, Abraham and Isaac and the two servants journey off to the region of Mount Moriah. Day three is the day where they see the place of sacrifice, where finally they go to that place where Isaac was supposed to be sacrificed. Verse 5 is very interesting. Abraham says to his servants, we will worship and then we will come back to you. Why does he say that? Well, the Holy Spirit, through the writer of Hebrews, gives us a little insight into this, doesn't he? We read in our passage in Hebrews that Abraham believed that God was able to raise the dead. Even if he went through with the sacrifice, Abraham knew that God was able to raise his son again. And so he said, we will come back, because he was the child of promise. And this is an incredible faith, isn't it, in Abraham? Just an incredible faith. If we get a glimpse of Abraham's heart here, he's saying this, Lord, I know what you told me. Lord, you took me out and you showed me the sky and you pointed to the stars and you said, through this child of promise, so shall your offspring be. Count those descendants. That's going to be as numerous, the stars, that's going to be as numerous as your descendants. And Abraham says, you know what, God, I'm just going to trust in what you tell me. God, this request that you're making seems absurd to me. I don't understand it. But God, I'm going to trust your word. I'm going to take you at your word. I'm going to believe what you say. I know that you are a God who keeps his promises. And this is the faith that we see in Abraham. Let's move on to verses 6 through 10. It says, Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac. And he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father, Father. Yes, my son, Abraham replied. The fire and the wood are here, Isaac said. But where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. One of the things we must not overlook in this account is the humanity of Abraham. We must not gloss over his actions. In other words, we must not imagine that just because Abraham was obedient that he was somehow emotionless in this act of obedience. The Bible says when God spoke to Abraham, he said, take your son, the son whom you love. Abraham loved his son Isaac. This was not like, you know, a parent who couldn't stand his child and couldn't wait to get rid of him. No, there was a deep love that Abraham had for Isaac, and God called Abraham to offer up his son. And even though Abraham had faith that God could raise the dead, this must have been a gut-wrenching experience for Abraham. I don't believe Abraham took Isaac by the hand and kind of skipped up to Mount Moriah and said, oh, boy, Isaac, we're going to have fun today. No, I think there was a turmoil in his very soul. If he was human, which indeed he was, and if he loved his son, which we know he did, there had to be a great turmoil in his very heart and soul. And though Abraham had faith, you have to wonder, how much sleep did Abraham get on those two nights prior to reaching Mount Moriah? When Isaac said, "Hey, Dad, you know, we got the fire, we got the wood, but something's missing, Dad. Where's the lamb?" What did Abraham feel like? Did Abraham have to hold back the tears? Was there a lump in his throat when he said, "God will provide the lamb, my son"? Was there sweat upon the palms of Abraham as he reached for the knife? As he raised the knife above his head to slay his son, did the tears just fall upon the body of his child? I don't know. I wonder all these things of what Abraham must have wrestled with as he was called to be obedient to God. May we never forget that though Abraham was a great man of faith, he was still a man who had emotions, who had feelings. But, verse 11, beautiful word, but, as soon as I get there. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day it is said, on the mountain of the Lord it will be provided. Well, for those with true, genuine faith, the end of the story is always, always sweet. For Abraham, he did not have to go through with the sacrifice of his son. That's a sweet ending, isn't it? And for you and I who have trusted in Christ, there's a sweet ending for you and I as well. We too are promised eternal life, heaven with God and Christ for all eternity. And really, that's a story that never ends. It will go on forever. That story is sweet for us as well. Well, as we look at Abraham's faith, what truths can we apply to our own lives today? Just want to look at four things today. Number one is this. When we walk by faith, we may not always know the details about the future. We may not know the details about the future. Now, certainly we know that heaven awaits us. If we have trusted in Christ as our Lord and our Savior, we are guaranteed, it's a promise to you and I, that we will spend eternity with Christ. We know that part of the future. But as we walk by faith in this life, let's face it, we don't always know what lies down the road for us in this life. God may move us. God may shake us from time to time. And as he does that, let's always remember that God is a faithful God. He's a God who keeps his promises. He is the God who has said this, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." I can't think of a more comforting thought to know that though my future may be unclear, it is not unclear to God Almighty. And in the midst of this walk of faith, that God has promised to always be with me. I may not understand what lies ahead. I may not understand why he does what he does. But God says to you and I as believers, just take my hand, child. Just trust in me. Just walk with me. You are engraved on the palm of my hands. Just trust me. I'm a God who keeps his promises. I'm a faithful God. I'm with you now and forevermore. Well, number two is that the road of obedience does not mean a road of ease. Does not mean it's going to be an easy road when we obey God. Often in our day, many people equate faith with ease. They think the greater my faith, the more easier my life is going to be, the less struggles I'm going to have if I'm really walking by faith. Let me tell you, that is anti-biblical. You've got to rip out pages of the Bible to have that kind of thinking. And you can begin with Hebrews chapter 11, which goes into detail about people who suffered, who were tried, who were tested over and over again, people of great faith. The road that Abraham was called to walk, I'll be honest, is beyond my comprehension. I cannot fathom what God called Abraham to do. I can kind of fathom leaving my homeland of Montville, Connecticut, and moving away. But you know what? To have to offer up a child as a sacrifice, even though you know that God can raise the dead, I can't imagine God calling us to do that. Let me just make it clear. God will not call you to do that in your life, okay? What God did to Abraham was a unique situation to lay him on the altar and say, I want you to kill your son. And sadly, we hear about people today who even do that. They kill their children. They say, well, God told me to do this. No, God is not never telling you to do that. Just make that clear right now. It's a unique thing that was specifically to Abraham to test his faith. He'll not do that to you. Though he'll not ask us to sacrifice our child, you know what God may say, though, to us who are parents? I have plans for your child. And as they follow me, you know what? You may have to sacrifice. I may call you to sacrifice in some way. God may say to us who are parents, I want you to totally entrust your child or your children into my hands. God may ask that of us for sure. Again, we can't underestimate the feelings that Abraham must have felt that day. And perhaps today, as you seek to walk in obedience, as you seek to walk by faith, maybe there's a knot in the pit of your stomach. Maybe there are tears that are just ready to flow out of your eyeballs today just because of the anguish of your very soul as you seek to walk by obedience. But let me remind you of this. God knows how you feel. God the Father knows what it's like to give up his own son. Jesus Christ knows what it's like to feel pain, to feel hurt, to feel heartache. He became like us. He can sympathize with our weaknesses. Jesus knew abandonment. He knew what it was to be humiliated. He knew what it was to be spit upon. But let me just remind you of this. Though Jesus felt the reality and the burden of pain, he never let his emotions affect his obedience. Let me say that again. He never let his emotions affect his obedience. And we see that in the Garden of Gethsemane, don't we? When Jesus is in anguish over the road to the cross, the road of obedience to the cross, and the Bible says he sweat what looked like drops of blood, you better believe there was anguish and turmoil in the soul of Christ as a man, as he knew what he would endure. But yet he did not let that affect his obedience. He still willingly asked what God, did what God asked of him. And whatever road God has called us to walk, I guarantee you this, it will never be as difficult as the road that Christ has already walked. You will never experience as much emotional and physical pain as Jesus Christ has already gone through. Therefore, we can take comfort. We can have hope. As the writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews 12:3, consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Hey, are you having a difficult time obeying the Lord? Look to Christ. He had a difficult time obeying his Father, but he went through with it. Verse 4 says, in your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. The writer of Hebrews says, hey, you're still breathing, aren't you? You're still alive. Well, Christ went to the cross. He went to death through his obedience. He says, hang in there, press on. The road may be hard, but face it with the power and strength of Christ. I'd just like to read to you a part of a devotion that was in one of my devotionals a couple years ago. And it talked about this topic of living by faith. I just want to read a paragraph to you. It says, living by faith often means we grit our teeth and press on in obedience to the Lord's command. despite our turmoil over it. Our spouses may hurt us deeply and we may feel like retaliating, but we strive to do otherwise for the sake of marriage vows made in the name of our triune Lord. Since God demands it, we go the extra mile for that boss who never thanks us, even when our natural inclination is to do the job only halfway. Because we know the Lord wants us to keep our commitments, we join a Bible-believing church and serve the body, even if our favorite pastor leaves or we do not like all of the music. True faith, Abraham shows us, serves God even when it is the last thing we feel like doing. People of God, don't let your feelings dictate your obedience. Be obedient no matter how you feel. Be obedient to what the Word of God says. Well, number three, third thing we can learn is that God will test us. God will test us. I did not say tempt us, but test us. And it's important to make that distinction between tempting and testing. James tells us in James chapter 1, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when by his own evil desire he is dragged away and enticed. James is saying this. He says, when you give in to sin, don't ever say, God, why did you tempt me? God does not tempt anyone, according to the Word of God. God never directly tempts us. God is never pleased when we choose sin. God never hangs this or dangles this sinful carrot before us and say, come on, choose this way. Never, ever. Never, ever will God ever tempt us in any way. It is not in his nature to do so. God never does that. But God does, however, in his sovereignty, he allows us to be tempted, doesn't he? We see this in the life of Christ. Matthew 4 says that Jesus was tempted in the wilderness by Satan. God allowed that in the life of Christ. God was not directly tempting Christ. Satan was doing the tempting, wasn't he? Satan would have loved it if Christ had chosen sin. He would have delighted in that. It would have broke the Father's heart, though. God would have never been pleased by sin. God certainly allowed those temptations in the life of Christ, just like he allows certain temptations in our lives. And when those temptations come, the Word of God tells us this, that God will always, always, always provide a way of escape. Whenever you are faced with a temptation, you can never say, well, I couldn't help it. I couldn't find a way out. I don't know what happened. God will always provide a way of escape, always a door for you to go through. Why don't we go through the door? Because we'd rather sin, right? That's the facts. That's the hard truth. We'd rather sin, and so we choose to sin rather than take that way of escape that God has always provided for us in every choice that we face, every temptation. And you know, sometimes as we face tests, sometimes those tests can be difficult. Sometimes they come in all kinds of shapes and sizes. But you know what? As God lovingly allows us to be tested, it often reveals what's in our hearts. You know that? When we go through a test, we may find, you know what? I really didn't have as much faith as I thought I did. When we go through a test, we may say, God, I don't think I love you as much as I really claim to, or else I might have come through this test in a different manner. And sometimes these tests can seem like more than we can handle. Paul writes of this in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8. He says, we were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, in our hearts, we felt the sentence of death. But he goes on to say, but this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. Beautiful verse. Paul says, we were under this tremendous pressure. We were between a rock and a hard place. And this test that I was going through was beyond my ability to endure. It was more than my strength could handle. I was facing death. Death was staring me in the face. But what I had to do was this one thing. I had to rely upon God. In that moment of testing, I had to rely on Him. Because either two things were going to happen. Either God was going to deliver me and rescue me, or I was going to be taken home. That was the two options there. But either way, I was going to rest in the power of God in my life and not do things in my own strength and in my own power. That's what Paul learned through his tests. And perhaps today God is testing you in some area. And you may be here and you may say, I can't do it. You know what? That's good. That's the way God wants you to think. You can't. You can't do it. And I'm not saying say I can't do it and then give up. I'm saying realize you can't do it and then rely on God. Rely on God's power to carry you through, to pull you through, to get you through. The power of the Holy Spirit that He provides for you. Number four is that God will and has provided the lamb. For Abraham, as we look at the account, we see that a ram was provided. A ram was caught in a thicket in this briar bush. And Abraham was able to use that ram and lay that down on the altar as a sacrifice instead of his own son. And for you and I, God has provided the spotless, sinless Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, as an offering for our sin today. We see that Abraham did not have to offer up Isaac. God spared him the pain of having to take the knife and hit his son with it. Yet God the Father did not spare himself that pain of offering up Christ, did he? Romans 8:32 says, He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? We sing that song, How Deep the Father's Love, and we're going to close with that song today. It's a beautiful song that tries to plunge the depth of the love of God. And one of the lines that I love in that song is this, I cannot give an answer. I just cannot give an answer. When I try to fathom the depth and the vastness of the love of God, how God could offer up His sinless, holy Son for a sinner, a wretch like me, you know what? I just can't fathom that. I have no answer. I'm speechless. I don't fully understand that. But I do know this, it's true. I know that Jesus Christ paid my ransom. I know that I was bought with a price, with the precious blood of Christ. I know that, and I cling to that, and I believe that. Therefore, I have hope. How about you? Have you come to the point in your life where you said, God, I don't understand. I don't understand everything that happens in life, even everything that's happened to me. But God, when I look at the cross of Christ, when I look at the cross of Christ, I see someone who died in my place. God, I see something that really wasn't fair that took place. I see a sinless man who died as a substitute for me. God, I'm the wretch. I'm the sinner. I should have been nailed to the cross. I'm the one who deserves your wrath and your punishment and your justice. But God, you've laid it upon Christ. And God, I don't understand everything, but I accept by faith your sacrifice of Christ. Have you done that? The Bible says if you believe that Jesus Christ died for you, you will be saved. If you just confess with your mouth that He's Lord, that God raised Him from the dead, that if you accept and receive Him in that sacrifice, you'll be saved and you'll be guaranteed eternal life. Have you done that? Have you just welcomed Christ in by faith and said, Lord Jesus, I believe in You. I'm a sinner and I receive You. Thank You for Your sacrifice. Have you done that? And if you have questions and want to talk, please talk with me today about that as well. Let's just close today in prayer. Father, I thank You for Your awesome love. Lord, a love that we can't fully get our arms around, Lord. Lord, we just can't fathom how in Your holiness and righteousness and justice You would love us. But Lord, we by faith accept what You've done, Lord, Your plan of salvation. Lord, there is no other way to be forgiven except through Christ and His sacrifice. Lord, we thank You that You are willing to go through all that pain for us. And Lord, we just stand in awe of your love today, and we praise you and thank you for your mighty love. We thank you in the wonderful name of Christ, our Savior and Lord, who is King and Savior, in Jesus' name. Amen.